call the order of the July 17th meeting of the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board. If you would please rise and join us in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Albano.
Here.
Ms. Shank.
Here.
Mr. Lemon.
Here.
Mr. Hilton is excused. Ms. Nicholson.
Here.
Mr. Ferguson.
Here.
Mr. Gross is excused. Mr. Whitson.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Our first item is the meeting minutes of the June 18th regular board meeting and the June 26th workshop meeting. Are there any questions or revisions? If not, is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the last two meetings.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a second. Irene, would you call the roll?
Mr. Albano.
Yes.
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson.
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson.
Yes.
Ms. Shank.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
We have a, I'm sorry, the motion carries 6-0.
Thank you. The next item is a subdivision master plan, Sawmill Branch Phase 4. I'd like to declare a conflict of interest due to my involvement with the CDD, and they will be, we believe, will be maintaining that. So I have probably paperwork for a conflict with Jackie and Irene, and Ms. Shank, the meeting is yours.
Thank you. We'll now move to item number 2 on the agenda, subdivision master plan, Sawmill Branch 4, application number 573. Mr. Diamond.
Thank you, and good evening, everybody. Very happy to be the Chief Development Officer of Community Development. This item, our planner, Estelle Lenz, will have the presentation. This is for a subdivision master plan. As you recall, our subdivision process is a three-step application process. The first item is heard by the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board for approval. And after that is approved, this is more like a big picture kind of planning item agenda. Then after that's approved, there's a preliminary plat, and that's where all the details of construction plans those details then would be approved administratively. And then the next step would be the final plat, and by state law, that is approved by our city council. So Ms. Lenz will have the staff presentation for the subdivision master plan application.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board, Estelle Planner with the city. And this is the subdivision master plan for Sawmill Branch Phase 4. The project is a 213.13 acre site. The applicant is proposing 425 single family residential lots. Phase 4 is actually one of the future phases for the Phase 3 plat, which came to the board in March. The Phase 4 and phase 5 projects were included with the Phase 3 plat because they have to construct the what's called a spine road to give the second access to the different phases. So this will be the development of a future track on Phase 3. And this project is part of Comcoast Park. Comcoast Park is a development of regional impact and DRI, also a master plan development, MPD. The project was originally approved in December of 2004. The DRI was, the MPD was originally approved in October of 2011. There were multiple amendments to the DRI, and MPD was the most recent amendment being approved by City Council last May 2023. This project, the Sawmill Branch phases, are located in the northwest portion of the Pond Coast Park MPD tracks, which is on the upper left side of the screen. I'm looking for my mouse. Oh, there it is. Okay, so that others are listed in blue on this slide. And these are the Sawmill Branch community phases. Phases 2A and 2B have already received final plat approval from City Council. There's a very large amenity center that's being constructed on Phase 2A, and that amenity center will provide active recreation to all the phases of the Sawmill Branch community, except Phase 7, which has subdivision master plan came to this board in March and was approved. The preliminary plat is under review now. Tonight we're looking at phase four. Phase five will probably come to the board next month, if not the following month. It's being reviewed right now, the subdivision master plan. Phase seven has already received preliminary plat approval and is under construction. Phase six came to the board last month. That's the townhouse project that was approved by this board, and the preliminary plat is already in. That's the one that kind of wraps around the school board that we discussed last month. And Sawmill Creek has already been under construction. The future land use map shows the project to have a land use map designation of BRI mixed use. It's surrounded by BRI mixed use with county agricultural and timberlands located to the west across the railroad tracks. The property is zoned MPD and surrounded by the Pontos Park MPE zoning with county agricultural lands located again to the west across the railroad tracks. The project will have to meet the low density residential criteria of the Pontos Park MPD, which requires a minimum lot size of 4,000 square feet. They're proposing a minimum 4,800 square foot lot, and minimum lot width is 40 feet, and that's what they're meeting. Impervious surface ratio maximum 75%, they're proposing 24.7. The maximum gross density is 6 units per acre. They'll be at 2.9 based on the upland acreage. Building height is 35 feet. They'll meet the required setbacks, which are 10 off the front, 5 on the side, 10 off the rear. Garages must be set back 20 feet to allow the length of the parking for parking cars. Regarding landscape buffers, minimal landscape buffers are really not required due to the adjacent land use and zoning categories. However, the applicant is proposing a very large conservation area to be preserved on the western and eastern boundaries of the project. This is the subdivision master plan. You can see to the north, right, northeast to the right. So the west up here, the conservation area, there's actually 61.66 acres of conservation area being preserved on this project. You can see here on the western portion and down here on the eastern portion, the wraps around. The applicant or the project will provide an active recreation area. They're proposing a multi-use field that they're saying will be constructed with a phase three plat, but it will provide level service acreage for this project. They're proposing a massive recreation trail to come along the conservation area on the east side and wrap around the south side. And again, the residents will have access to the amenity center on phase 2A. The following slides will be the five review criteria from section 2.05.05 of the Land Development Code. This criteria must be met for all projects that receive development order. A must not be in conflict with the public interest. The proposed development will not be a conflict. It will meet all applicable development standards within the Unified Land Development Code, the Pontos Park DRI, and MPD. B must be consistent with the Land Development Code and the Comprehensive Plan. The staff report identifies five goals, policies, and objectives of the comp plan that are being met with this project. C must not impose a significant financial liability or hardship on the city, and this project will not. The public infrastructure that is needed is being extended at the expense of the cost of the developer. D must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance, so this criteria is met. Everything will be newly constructed and developed in compliance with the DRI, the UP, the development code, building code, and all the agency requirements. Regarding traffic impacts for this site, the development is anticipated to generate 4,008 daily trips, 298 total A and peak hour trips, and 399 total PM peak hour trips. The required turn lanes at the intersection of Sawmill Branch, known as the Spine Road, and US 1 are already under construction. That intersection will be signalized and funded by FDOT once phases 4 and 5 commence construction. E must comply with all applicable government standards, and the applicant has submitted or shall submit plans and permit applications as required to the various agencies having jurisdiction. The environmental assessment states that the project avoids impacts to the majority of the on-site wetlands. Gopher tortoise was the sole state protected species located on the site, and they will be relocated prior to construction. does contain the criteria for all master plan developments is Land Development Code 2.10.04. A is logic of design. The site plan has been conceptually reviewed and found to meet the general standards of the MPD and the Land Development Code. As an example, the conceptual plan depicts the appropriate lot sizes and dimensions, the appropriate locations and the capacity of stormwater and drainage facilities, the availability and location of utilities, including a lift station, and the interconnectivity of the sidewalks and roadways. B, internal consistency. The single-family homes will be reviewed by individual permits for compliance and consistency with all the Land Development Code requirements, including the city's architectural and landscaping codes. C, impact on neighboring sites. The common development standards within the Palm Coast Park PRI and MPD will allow all sites in the overall neighborhood to develop in a manner that will be complementary with each other. These internal vehicular and pedestrian connectivity. The internal sidewalks will be provided to serve pedestrians and bicyclists, and the sidewalks will connect through the neighboring subdivisions to the 10-foot wide pedestrian trail that goes along the west side of US 1. The project meets the access requirements of 2 access points onto a public right of way. E is consolidation of utilities and facilities, including stormwater, parking, signage, etc. The applicant will be responsible for the development of on-site infrastructure, including utilities, a lift station, and location of stormwater facilities. These will be reviewed in further detail with the preliminary plat. Signage will be reviewed and approved by separate permit. However, subdivisions are allowed an entrance monument sign, which must be set back a minimum of 10 feet from the public right-of-way and be appropriately landscaped. F is public benefit from the project, and this project will provide alternative choices in housing in Palm Coast by providing recreational amenities for the residents and as well as a variety of smaller lot sizes. Construction of this project will assist in providing for numerous construction jobs over the next 2 years, will assist the city in reducing its housing shortage, and the additional rooftops will encourage commercial services in Northwest Palm Coast. To summarize, after review and evaluation of the proposed project for conformance with the requirements of the Palm Coast Park DRI, MPD, and the Land Development Code, and the comprehensive plan, staff finds that the proposed subdivision master plan complies with all such requirements. Planning staff wants to emphasize that this is only a conceptual approval of the overall project, and the details of the development will be reviewed and finalized during the balance of the planning process. The next steps, as Mr. Schneider mentioned, would be the preliminary plat that is submitted with construction plans. Those receive administrative approval, followed by the final plat, and that receives City Council approval. Staff recommends that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board find the project in compliance with the comprehensive plan, the Land Development Code, and the Palm Coast Park MPD, and approve the subdivision master plan for Solomon Branch Phase 4, application number 5783, subject to the conditions in the staff report. And I'll just leave that, I'll leave the conditions into the record. However, when I bring the recommendation back up, we can just leave it like that so you won't have to read all of the long-winded conditions that are coming up. So the conditions are as follows. 1, the preliminary plat for Phase 4 will be a replat of future tract, and the future tract is to be determined of the Sawmill Branch Phase 3 plat. 2, Sheet C-1.0 of the overall conceptual master plan shows a multi-purpose field constructed with Phase 3 to be included with the Phase 4 recreation area calculations. This was a little unclear on the preliminary plat that came in with Phase 3, a little confusing on the subdivision master plan, so I just wanted to be a little bit clearer and ask the applicant to clearly label this on both sets of plans, Phase 3 and Phase 4, providing the construction details with the Phase 3 construction plans and providing the type of amenity being provided on both sets of plans. 3, the subdivision master plan shows 10-foot easements along the front of the lots labeled as FPL easements. This needs to be relabeled as 10-foot utility easements on the preliminary plat and dedicated to the City of Palm Coast. 4, the following note must appear on the plat for Phase 4 regarding recreation. The recreation facilities for active and passive recreation are being shared between Sawmill Branch Phases 2A, 2B, 3, 4, 5, and 6. All residents in these phases shall share the amenity center being constructed at Sawmill Branch Phase 2. Sawmill Landing Amenity Center, as well as the passive recreational amenities throughout the phases. Finance ensure the sidewalk extends at least halfway around the cul-de-sac. The subdivision master plan did not show that. Multiple, this is from the floodplain manager, multiple lots fall inside flood zone A. The base flood elevation shall be determined per Land Development Code Section 10.02.07A and 10.02.07D. A letter of map change shall be required to remove them prior to the approval of the final plat or issuance of a building permit. 7. The environmental assessment stated that the tortoises were located on the site. A survey and subsequent relocation of any over tortoise burrows within 25 feet of construction will be required. Once this is complete, an after action report will be required to be submitted before any clearing or development per Land Development Code Section 10.04.04. 8. The Sawmill Branch Boulevard, the Spiny Road, shall be constructed and open northerly to US 1 prior to issuing any certificate of occupancies for phases 3, 4, and 5. And the final two conditions concern the school board. 9. School concurrency will be determined at the next stage of the subdivision process, which will be the submittal of preliminary plat construction plans. And 10. The developer will work with the school board regarding the location of a school bus stop. And the applicant is present.
Thank you, Estelle. Please approach the podium and state your name for the record. Thank you.
Adam Mossman, I'm a design engineer, 14745 Fulton Parkway, and I'm representing the developer. I don't have anything to add to the presentation, but I'm open for any questions.
Okay, we'll return to the board. Are there any questions?
I have one. Ms. Lenz, can you put the impervious ratio? I think it's the previous slide. So it's 24.7. That's not on a per lot basis, correct? Typically, we show that on a per lot basis.
I think that's the whole, the maximum impervious surface ratio is 75%, and that's per lot, so they'll have to demonstrate that when the individual permits come in on the site plan. But this is, I believe, the whole subdivision. You can probably tell me that's calculated because that's based on all the conservation lands and everything else, so you can probably comment on that.
Yeah, that's just an overall for the whole development area. 24.7, and then obviously for individual lots will be below 75% as required.
And then I just have a general question on the next slide forward. This 500 foot no build radius, is that from the MDC?
No, that's from the well. It's a well trap down by the right by the railroad to the left, or to the west.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
This may seem like an obvious question, but this application for the subdivision master plan precedes a official plat. Is that the next step?
The next step is the preliminary plat that is submitted with the construction plan. So the preliminary plat is the plat, but then it gets finalized at the final plat stage. So the next step is the preliminary plat, simultaneously submitted with the construction plans, and they all have to match.
So this is the normal sequence of events that must take place for the project to ensue.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a follow-up.
Yes.
So since this is just a master plan, the site plan really is preliminary, I'm assuming, only, and the reason I say that is on the previous slide, I talked about setbacks. There's 10-foot setbacks, 20 if there's a garage. What
yes.
type of product is going to be provided without a garage?
No. All homes in Palm Coast have a minimum, including this MPD, a minimum of 1,200 square feet with a two-car garage. So the house could come closer, but the garage has to be 20 feet. I mean, it would be unusual, but that's the way that it's written.
So we're allowing a 10-foot front setback on this property?
Yeah, he does, yes.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? I have a question. When was the environmental assessment completed for this
I believe it was earlier this year.
I'm sorry, say it again.
I believe it was earlier this year. Okay. So in a few months.
Okay, if approved, when do you think the developer anticipates construction of these homes?
Well, so the clearing and everything will probably be later this year. And then, you know, lots whenever we can, whenever they get to that stage.
And in regards to infrastructure, do we have the capacity for an additional 425 homes in that area for water and sewer at this time?
The water and sewer lines are going to be installed along this, well, you can write it better than me, along the Spine Road. The construction of the Spine Road is required for this project, but my understanding is the water, sewer, and reuse lines will be installed at the same time and at the time of the construction of the road, and this project will tap into those.
But your answer is yes.
So the water treatment facility will have the capacity. I know the lines will be installed, but my question is more along the lines, will we have the actual capacity?
Yes.
Okay, and I think I have one more question. No, I think that's it. Are there any other questions? Yes.
I just have one question with regard to the Spine Road having to be completed before certificate of occupancies are delivered. It seems to me that it would make more sense for that to be completed much earlier in that process. Do you have any idea what the schedule of that?
That is to be constructed in phase three. So it will actually likely be constructed before four gets their infrastructure installed. It's just a point that has to be required before we issue any certificates of occupancy, but it likely will be installed for any of the infrastructure and roads in phase four.
Mishek, your environmental question too. Like this application, our environmental assessments are good for 1 year. So when they come back for their next application process for the preliminary plat, we would ask for it again. And if it has been over a year, their certified biologists will have to go out and reassess the site and give us a statement back. And then the same thing with the final plat, that stage. If that's over a year, then we will be required to do that again.
That also will take into account if there are any artifacts.
Well, because this was a development of regional impact, the DRI, that was, I think, approved back in 2008, this whole area was already assessed through that DRI process. Mm-hmm. So the certified archaeologists already did the cultural resource investigation of this site, and the letter went to the state. As a matter of fact, the area to the north on that master plan that Estelle had up, it's just off the page, but it was originally part of the project. Go back to your master plan for a second.
This is the subdivision.
No, the one that showed all the trash, the total, yeah, that one. You see where phase five is? And you see that property to the north? That's where the old sawmill is. And that was part of this original property, and that was one of the recommendations from the state to keep that preserved. So the original developer, owner of the property, donated that piece of property that was there, and that's part of the sawmill. So I'm long-winded, but that's already been completed.
So that was in 2008. Is there an expiration period, or do we consider if there have been any changes to what would qualify as a cultural resource from 2018 to 2010?
No, ma'am. Once that property has been surveyed, unlike environmental, things can change, but the cultural resources won't change if they're underground. So they've already done the required assessment following state protocol and found everything that they thought they would find. They got the recommendation from the state. However, we do have language in our code that, you know, if they're doing construction and they find something, you know, they're to stop and then do that investigation. So we have kind of those assurances too.
Okay. So we have that other assurance as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that is that's a significant area potentially now with technology and advancements. We may discover something out there that was not discovered nearly 17 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, the archaeologists that do the work, and I don't know if, don't want to mention the names. I'm not sure who did. I think I know who did. But they are, you know, they're really certified. They have to have, like, what we call a SOPA certificate and, you know, credentials to do this work. And it's not only them doing the work, but when they do the report, they provide that to the state, the Division of Historical Resources. They call it the SHPO office, and they review it. They look at recommendations. They may make comments and say, okay, you've got to go back once you've looked at this and that. So it goes through that process and that state protocol process.
But I'm glad our LDC has an adequate layer of protection in the event that something is discovered. Okay, I have no further questions. Are there any questions from the board? Yes, sir.
This area has been one of the largest developments that I've seen Palm Coast have in a relatively short period of time. If we could go back to that slide we were just looking at, the one before with the phases. They had numbers on the side of total of all these phases. There's something like 2,000 units planned. And this being phase four, the question I have, and we were wondering earlier, how many houses are there now? And what's the rule of thumb for completing a phase before opening a new phase? Because it seems to me like if you have 50% or less in phase two or 2A or 2B or whatever, and then you're opening up 400 more in phase four, you've got like a shotgun approach to development. I was just curious about what you might say about that.
So first, the process of the DRI, when you get your DRI approval, you get an approval for certain entitlements, like, you know, a certain amount of units, a certain amount of non-residential units, right? So that's kind of the tracking of that. So they can only, you just can't keep developing. And I believe Palm Coast Park, I wish I remember the number, but I think it's, you remember the total for Palm Coast Park?
I think it's 3,600.
3,600?
I think.
Right? So they can't surpass that number. Mm. And then on the master plan, this is also an MPD, they designate certain areas and certain uses. Like this is definitely what was geared for just predominantly residential. Then we have areas, as you know, that have industrial, commercial, so it's a mix of uses, so they cannot exceed. Now, I don't know the total number of this total master plan. Do you recall the total number of this master plan?
There was some numbers listed on one of the slides, similar to this, but they had units on each phase on the right-hand side.
Yeah, so
I have that information with me, the like different numbers for the different phases of this particular project.
The overall for tracks 2A, 2B?
So 2A is 232 lots, 2B is 261 lots. So both of those 493. Phase 3 is 278 lots. Phase 4 is 425 lots. Phase 7 is 411 lots. Phase 6 was a 320 townhomes. And phase 5, 275 lots are coming in for phase 5. I didn't total them all up, but they are within the entitlements for Palm Coast Park. When they submitted a subdivision master plan, they have to submit an entitlement form demonstrating that they are within the residential entitlements that have already been acquired and assigned and are allotted for the development of regional impact. I do have all those numbers, I just don't have them with me. But when they first submit the subdivision master plan, that's the first thing we do, is make sure that they demonstrate that they have the, and they already have for all of these phases, they've demonstrated that they have the entitlements, and there's still a little bit more residential left in Palm Coast Park.
I think the question was misunderstood.
Okay.
The question was, at what percentage of completion at a various phase goes to the next phase, or can they just build 10% across seven phases and then slowly ramp up to 100?
How many houses are completed today in all of the phases that are open? compared to opening 400 more in phase
two? No, the permits have been pulled versus like how many lots are approved to be constructed. I don't have those numbers.
I believe, and this is just kind of a ballpark, probably about 300 lots constructed so far.
300?
Yeah, in 2A or maybe 250, somewhere around there, don't quote me on it. But I believe they're just kind of constructing it with demand. So, you know, if they need more, they're going to buy more. So it's just going to, you know, they're going to construct it. They're not going to build, you know, plat out a bunch of lots and not sell them.
Understood.
It's for profit.
Thank you. Are there any additional questions? Yes, please.
Just a quick question. Is phase 7 is a 55 plus?
I believe so, but my engineer can do that, so I'm not 100%, but I believe so.
Okay. All right. I was thinking it was, and it's 400 or something?
Phase 7 is 411 single-family residential lots, and I believe that that's before we were trying to work out the residential level of service. Phase 7 was not really included calculations to use the amenity center, because I think that was, I would have to double check, but I think that came up at that time, that it is a 55.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. We will now open the notice to the public for public comment. The only members of the public that would like to speak regarding the Sawmill Master Plan development, please approach. Seeing none, we'll return to the board, and we will entertain a motion.
I guess I will, since everybody's been awfully quiet tonight. So,
eight or ten amendment are subject to.
Yes, I know, but Estelle gave us an out on that.
I know. I hope that last.
You didn't get the out last night. Okay, so I will make a motion to make a recommendation to find the project in compliance with comprehensive plan, the Land Development Code, and the Palm Coast Park MPD, and approve the submittal master plan for Sawmill Branch Phase 4, application number 5783, subject to all of the conditions 1 through 10 that Estelle read previously.
Thank you. We have a second?
I'll second it.
Roll call, please, Irene.
Mr. Albano.
Yes.
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson.
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson.
Yes.
Ms. Shang.
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Return to the chair.
Thank you, Ms. Shang. And that's our only item on the regular meeting. Is there any other business, Mr. Tyner, that we need to discuss?
No, sir.
Okay. So we're going to adjourn this meeting and then go to the workshop. So is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.